Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, January the 27th. And today we're going to look at a couple of big stories in the country. The announcement that Justice Breyer is going to retire. And we're also going to take a look at some of President Biden's polling data. Because when you look at these numbers, you can understand why so many Democrats are scared to death about the upcoming midterm election in November. But let's talk about Justice Breyer. He will be retiring at the end of the term, which is usually how these things work out. The justice, unless he dies, as was the case of Justice Ginsburg or Justice Scalia, unless you have a situation like that, they usually retire at the end of the term, and then obviously the end of the term is June or July. I think it's June. And then at that time, normally the nomination process begins. The names are put out there. I think you know the process. They make a selection, and then that person goes to the Senate and talks to all the senators. And then there are confirmation hearings. And then the confirmation committee will send or not send. They usually send it. The nomination to the floor. And then you have to get a majority on the floor to make it to the Supreme Court. So that's kind of the way it works out. So my guess is that the new nomination, whoever she will be, and it will be a woman. We know that much because President Biden confirmed it today that it was going to be a black woman. So it will be a black woman who will be nominated to the Supreme Court. And who that person is, we don't know. We don't know who that person is. I was listening to some candidates on the way home Tuesday night or Wednesday night. I was listening to some candidates or some people who might be in the short list, as they like to say. And frankly, I think some of those individuals could have some difficulties when their opinions and some of the things they've written begin to come out. But I have no doubt that this person will be confirmed unless there's something really bad out there. The key is that the Democrats have 50 votes in the U.S. Senate, as you know, and they got to get all 50. They have to get all 50 Democrats to say yes so that this thing can, at the very least for them, end up in a 50-50 tie, which would then be broken by Vice President Harris. So they got to get all Democrats. They cannot go into the vote let's say with 48 or 49 Democrats, because that is a risk that the nomination could go down. So as of today, I'm going to say that I believe the nomination will go through. I think that whoever they're going to nominate will make it out of the committee, will go to the Senate floor, and probably get the 50 votes or maybe even a few more. A few Republicans may join in as well to get this person confirmed. Now, what should the Republican strategy be? I think this is the point that we need to consider. What should the Republican strategy be? What should the Republicans do, regardless of who the nominee is? I mean, it could be a very radical nominee. It could be a mainstream nominee. I really don't know who the people are, but let's just assume that it is whatever it is, whatever he puts up. I think the Republican posture should be, let's get this thing done as soon as possible. And let's move on to other topics. And the important reason for me saying that is that this nominee, this candidate to the Supreme Court, this potential new justice in the Supreme Court is not going to have any impact whatsoever on the composition of the court. This is going to be a 6-3 court now, and it is a 6-3 court right now, and it will be a 6-3 court after this person joins the bench. And by that, I mean 6 of the 9 members of the court were appointed by Republican presidents, one by the first Bush, 2 by the second Bush, and of course, 3 by President Trump. And those 6 are still going to be there. And out of those 6, I think we've got 5 who are very reliably conservative votes. Thomas, Alito, and the 3 that President Trump put in. So having this person in the Supreme Court is not going to impact whatsoever or change the ideological direction of the court, because you're still going to get these 5-4 or 6-3 opinions that we've been getting lately, the many opinions that we've been agreeing with. Also, by the time this nomination goes to the confirmation committee, the topic of abortion will be history, because I'm pretty confident that Roe v. Wade is going to be overturned this summer. And if not overturned, Roe v. Wade, at least practically overturned, in the sense that the Supreme Court will say that states have the right to regulate abortion. So once they say that, Roe v. Wade is pretty much out the window. So abortion is not going to be the issue that it was, let's say, during the confirmation hearings of Justice Kavanaugh or all the other Republicans who have gone through the process here recently. So I think the Republicans ought to just get this over with as soon as possible and move on, because the more that the country is talking about inflation, and the more that the country is talking about the border crisis, and the more that the country is talking about the general incompetence of the Biden administration, the more that the Republicans win. But if they get into a debate over this lady, the lady who's going to be nominated, the Democrats are going to use that debate to bang the drums of racism, and they're going to try to say that the Republicans are opposed to this woman because she's a black woman, and we've all heard the story before. This is nothing new. They're going to play the race card, and it's going to get pretty ugly. So frankly, my message to the Republican is get this over with as soon as possible. It doesn't change anything in the Supreme Court, and then let's just move on to other topics of greater interest, not just greater interest to the country, but frankly more important topics such as the economy and the virus and everything else going on out there. So get it over with. Put the lady in, whoever she is, put her in, and move on to other things. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, talking about the Supreme Court. And let me just say it again. The Republicans ought to just go through the nomination process as quickly as possible, put this lady in the court as soon as possible, and move on to other problems. The Democrats are desperately looking for a distraction, and they're trying to use this nomination as a distraction. But let me tell you why the Democrats are looking for a distraction. I'm going to share with you right now the last 11 polls that have come out about President Biden's approval. These are the last 11 that have come out. And this information, by the way, is available in Real Clear Politics. They publish all this stuff. If you are interested in checking it out, realclearpolitics.com, and they've got all these numbers that I'm going to share with you right now. So I'm going to give you these 11 or 12 last polls. And I'll go at the beginning of the year, the first week of the year. We'll start with Gallup, and they came in at 40. Then came another one at 35, at 39, at 44, at 47. That 47 is the high point of all of these polls. Then came 43, 39, 42, 40, 38, 41, and 42. So the average of these 11 or 12 polls is 40.8. But, you know, if you take out the high point, this 47, he's under 40% as an average. But even at 40.8, which is where he's at right now, that's a horrible number for a president. That means that 6 out of 10 people disagree with what you're doing or are not approving what you're doing. So it's a horrible number for President Biden. And then if you go inside the numbers, this is what is really going to kill the Democrats. The independents are the people who are really walking away from President Biden. The independents thought that they were voting for Joe Biden who was going to turn out to be a moderate, who was going to turn out to be not one of these presidents who wrote a lot of executive orders and who did a lot of things by executive order. And in fact, what's happened with President Biden is that most of the executive orders that he wrote took the country to the left, some of them actually very damaging to the country, like when they went after the pipeline, the Keystone Pipeline. And the one on the border, the stuff on the border is just absolutely horrific. I mean, they did away with President Trump's policies on the border. The policies that President Trump had instituted on the border were actually working quite well. I mean, they were working quite well. It wasn't perfect. It's never going to be perfect on the border. But at least you had, you had the situation was stabilized. Today, what we have on the border is total, complete chaos. I was just listening to a story before we started the podcast that the Border Patrol agents are just like angry. And many of them are looking for any way they can to get out of their job. You know, retire early, move to another area, because the Border Patrol people are just frustrated that they've been put in this situation where they're not allowed to do their jobs. They're not allowed to do their jobs. And they can see with their own eyes that the Biden administration is not interested whatsoever in enforcing the border of the United States. So this is the reason that so many Democrats are worried about President Biden and why they're worried about the upcoming election, because of these numbers that I just shared with you. But these numbers are not just, these are not just hypothetical numbers. These numbers are a collection of numbers that show the dissatisfaction with President Biden's policies. And two things, and I'll say it again, two things really killing the Biden administration: inflation and the situation on the border. And honestly, the price of gasoline is probably going to increase here over the next few months, particularly if the situation in Ukraine gets out of hand. Even if it doesn't get out of hand, even if it stays like this, you know, the threat of an invasion, but there is no actual invasion, even then, I think you're going to see the price of oil going up. We're seeing that already here in the Dallas area. Gasoline is like $3.09, $3.10, $3.19. We're seeing that here. Okay, a year ago, it was $2.15. So in a year, the price of gasoline has gone up $1 a gallon. That's pretty rough. That's pretty rough on the average family that has to obviously fill those tanks. You know, you're filling up your tank these days, and it's $35, $40, $45. Well, where's that money coming from? Well, it's coming from some other part of your budget. I mean, the family has a finite budget. And if you're now all of a sudden spending $15 to $20 a month more, or $30 or $40 a month more in gasoline, well, that money's got to come from somewhere else in the family. And that's why we're seeing so much frustration with inflation, because people look at this inflation and, you know, every time people go shopping, the rates are, you know, the prices are higher, and certainly gasoline is leading the way in this whole thing. So this is why President Biden is in deep political trouble, and why the, getting back to my first point about the Supreme Court, we need to be talking about these failures of the Biden administration. So let them put in the lady in the Supreme Court, get that over with as soon as possible, and then start talking, or keep talking, about the failures of this administration, inflation, and the absolutely incomprehensible situation on the border that nobody can explain. Well, we're going to remember today, we're going to say happy number 75 to John Lowenstein. Now, many of you probably don't know who John is. John was a baseball player with the Baltimore Orioles in the late 70s, early 80s, when they made it to the World Series a couple of times. And if you remember those great Oriole teams, and they were great, then you remember John Lowenstein, because he was pinch hitter number one and one of the more popular players on that team. I don't know what he's doing these days. I don't know what John Lowenstein is doing these days. But I tell you, just thinking about John Lowenstein, great baseball memories of those great, absolutely great Oriole teams of that time in baseball history. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later.